You want to live a life on fire and on mission. You want to be filled with such conviction and drive that you stop caring about what anyone thinks. You want to face each day alive, authentic, and fully present in every moment. With your wife, with your kids, on the street, at work. You want to bring yourself to the table and to stop bringing the watered-down, nice, what-everyone-wants version of you. You want that self to be a man who is burning in passion for Jesus, unafraid to bring his kingdom to anyone in your path, no matter what it costs you. You want to love the one in front of you without fear, without needing love back, and without reserve. You want to husband well. You want to father well. You want to shepherd your life well. You want to be a safe pillar for anybody around you. You want to experience God for real, to not just believe, but to know that he's got you and that he'll show up on your behalf, that he'll show up through you. You want to get to the end of your race and say, yep, I gave it everything. Jesus, you know I'm all in. And you want to know just how to get there. Welcome to Man Warrior King. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. Congratulations. You're among the violent taking the kingdom by force. You're among the chosen answering the call to rise above yourself. You're in the forge being stripped down and strengthened, and you will rise stronger, solid, unshakable. You are a man. You're a warrior. You are a king. So good morning, gentlemen. This is Matt Halleck coming at you with another episode of the Man Warrior King podcast. I am your host, and you and I have been together in this battle, in this journey for quite some time now. And you guys, I am coming at you this morning. I've been doing a series lately about out of the book of Mark. And it's been, we've been looking at how do we stay grounded as men of the kingdom? How do we stay in this place of unshakability? How do we stay focused on our mission when everything else around us presents opposition? When everything else around us would have us giving up, would tell us that God himself isn't even for us. And we've seen how Jesus sets this example for us, because he was affirmed by the Spirit of God, by the Father, by the voice of God speaking to him from heaven. And immediately afterwards, he was driven into the wilderness. Immediately afterwards, he started facing all this opposition, even from his own family and people who were trying to get him to stop. And I am afraid, gentlemen, I fear that we might just be too weak. We can come up with a lot of fancy sounding, fancy schmancy terms for, you know, what we are and why we are the way we are and how we make the decisions that we make and stuff. But I'm suspicious that underneath all of it, we are just weak. We are a weak breed of man. And I'm sorry to say it, but I think we might even be weaker than a good portion of men who aren't in the church, who don't have the Spirit. And my question is why? That should not be the way it is. But when we are on a path, when we are walking a path, we sometimes, or always, or at least often, we get derailed at the first, second, or third sign of trouble. I coach high schoolers in college entrance and things like that. And one of the points that I make to them is this now it's becoming cliche, probably pretty overused, but this notion that we don't see success or results when we give up. And we can tend to give up well before we have a shot at actually seeing success. And I talked to them about the example, this is the part that's often overused now, of Thomas Edison inventing the light bulb. And I don't even know the specific historical details. I just know that it took him somewhere around 1,000 tries. And he probably should have given up at try number 100. You know, let alone 900. Let alone 999. He probably should have given up, but he didn't. And I think this idea of giving up versus continuing on is so near and dear to my heart at the moment because it's just pertinent for where we are at. Guys, if you don't know my history, I got married to my awesome, beautiful wife when I was 21. And the year before that, during our engagement, my health took a big dive. I had been athletic, active, strong. I was working a landscaping job and all of that. And my health just all of a sudden got arthritis in a certain ankle. And that started spreading quickly from the ankle to other joints, to other joints, to other joints until a couple of years in, I had arthritis in pretty much every joint of my body and got to the point where I was bedridden. I could not get up. I could only get up enough to go to the bathroom, maybe make it to the car if we had to go to the doctor. But I couldn't even hold my two-year-old daughter, maybe one and a half. I couldn't even pick her up. I could not, you know, do the things a dad is supposed to do. Play with his kids, wrestle with them. I couldn't do any of that. I couldn't work. I had been working and all the way up until one night I stayed up all night because I was in so much pain throughout the night. I called the next day. I said, I can't make it in today. And I never made it back. And that was now 13 years ago. And here we are today, still dealing with the challenges, still dealing with the ramifications of being over a decade battling for health. There are so many ramifications that we don't even know if you're not in it. You don't even have a grid for what all that means. But one of the ramifications is financial and career and being able to actually make progress in life. So here we are today, and I have been working my butt off to secure my family for the last couple of years, and there have just been different roadblocks. And this is not anything to make anybody feel sorry for me. That is not the goal. But it is as if every step we have taken has eventually had the legs cut out from under it. And there have been so many times when I have, on my knees before God, said, God, how the heck am I supposed to keep going on? And I've cussed him out. And I've reasoned with him, and I've said, God, you have these promises that aren't true in my life. What am I supposed to do? I have had seasons of, as we've been growing out of our marital, you know, pain and learning how to be married as healthy man and woman, learning how to love each other in a way that is the way that God actually designed it, learning how to be a man for my wife that is attractive to her. As we've been coming out of those, I'm not perfect at it. And there are times when I slip back into old ways and I get frustrated and I say, God, how am I supposed to be leading men if this is, you know, where I'm at the moment? And over and over and over through his word, we have example after example of people who were chosen, were called by God for a mission, and they messed it up along the way, and he looked at them and he said, good job, keep going. Yeah, he may rebuke them at times, but he doesn't ever say, you know what, this was it, this, you blew it, I'll choose someone else, unless their heart walks away. And in all of my frustration and anger and wrestling and gritting my teeth, and keeping on, my heart is still his. There's a scripture in the Old Testament about a certain king. I want to say it's Jehoshaphat, but I don't know for sure. So don't quote me on it. I'm not going to look it up right now. But there's a single individual verse that says that he set his heart to seek the Lord. And I think that is a pretty good descriptor of me. And I'm not trying to brag or anything like that, but I think that's an accurate descriptor for me, that in the middle, in the ups and downs, in the trials that keep on hammering, like Paul, we have been buffeted over and over and over again. My heart has been set to seek the Lord. And I have set it to seek him in season and out of season. And that lately even, that doesn't mean that I'm always dedicating the 4 hours of my day to him and praying to him, though there is no excuse for not setting aside time to be with the Lord, because I believe that our entire existence, our entire daily living, every aspect of our life is rooted in time with Jesus. If we want to live as men of the kingdom, then this is to me right now, gentlemen, then we had better get our butt in gear. We had better get our act together and start spending time in the presence of God with his word out and seeking after him on our knees, on our faces, standing, pacing through the house, sitting somewhere where we are dedicated to his presence. And I know right now, I'm here streaming to YouTube and I am recording the podcast episode. But to be honest, this is actually me this morning obeying the leading of the Lord against everything that is in me right now to spend my time doing. Because when I woke up this morning, I immediately had work and income on my mind, and I even started doing the things that were that, and I wasn't actually starting my day with Jesus. And that's not that you have to start your day with him. You got to spend time with him somewhere, but I actually do believe that starting the day off with Jesus for me, and probably for a buttload of other guys, is the most powerful way to engage with him and to start our days. But when I am faced, guys, and I'm just being honest, when I have been faced with the threat of non-income in recent days, the time with the Lord has gone on the back burner, and that is not okay. And so me sitting here right now is answering the invitation that he gave to me in the house this morning. I'm in my laundry room / office right now, but I'm sitting here recording this because he said, Matt, go record a podcast episode. And I said, what do you want me to talk about? And he said, talk about Mark 4, which we haven't even gotten to yet. And so here I am, and this is a sacrifice, which is pleasing to the Lord. And it's a contrite heart, which is pleasing to the Lord. And I wonder, does anybody else out there want the same thing? To where no matter what is going on in your life, you have a vital real relationship with the Lord, and you can afford to sacrifice in ways that you don't think you should be able to because you've got bills due. Mark 4 says that Jesus began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him. So he got into a boat, and he sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it." Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it didn't have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth. In other gospels, other versions of this story, Jesus actually explicitly says the seed is the word of the gospel, of the gospel of the kingdom, even. It's this truth of kingdom life. And it's my opinion, and it's the opinion of Man Warrior King, that the kingdom runs in our DNA. And Jesus, later in this same chapter, describes those first couple of instances of the seed falling, right? So it says that the first time the seed fell along the path and the birds came and devoured it. And he says later on, these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that's sown in them. And we seem to think, well, that's not me because I believe Jesus. I'm not under the grip of Satan. But I'm telling you right now, and I'm telling myself right now, we are under the grip of Satan if we think like he does. It's not that we are stuck there because Jesus has freed us, but we're, when we think a certain way, when we choose to entertain thoughts in our minds, we are choosing where we put our allegiance. When we think according to demonic thought, we are declaring, I align myself with you right now, not with Jesus. And that demonic thought is not as extreme as you might think. It's not as extreme as the word demonic would sound. Demonic thought can be, well, I better hustle and grind right now because if I don't, we're not going to pay the bills. So I don't have capacity to do much of anything else. I can't be very joyful. I can't smile because I need to take care of this crap. And yeah, sir, men, me, we do have a responsibility to take care of our crap. But we also have a privilege and the honor and the opportunity to take care of our crap the kingdom way. And I'm sorry, but the kingdom thinking has to be rooted in the word, which says that if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these other things that we worry about are going to be added to us. It says that unless the Lord builds the house, the man labors in vain who tries to build it at all. And he says, it says in that same scripture, in that same psalm, that it's useless to stay up late and rise early toiling away. Not that it's bad to stay up late and to rise early, but to do so in this spirit of toiling. And it says, because he gives his beloved rest. Jesus says, don't worry about anything. So whenever we entertain even these thoughts of worry that feel normal, when we entertain these thoughts of I've got to hustle and grind because if I don't, we're screwed, that feel normal, we're thinking demonically. Demonically. because we are negating the truth of God that says that he is our good father. And it says that if anybody asks for me a fish or bread, will I give them a snake or a stone? No, I delight in giving good gifts to my children, and I delight in giving good gifts to you. That is kingdom thinking. It's not to lead us into laziness, it's to lead us into rest while we are in action. And then Jesus says, other seed fell on rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. Since it had no root, it withered away. And he says, these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they heard the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. So, we need to get ourselves out of the craze of looking for that jolt of inspiration that will somehow give us the motivation, give us the feelings that we've been looking for that are going to start to carry us through the life change that we are desperate for. But Jesus is saying here, listen, careful. Because you receive the word with joy for a moment, but you're not letting it take root. And you have no root in yourself, so you endure for a while, but at the first moment of tribulation and persecution, immediately you fall away. So this can be a big picture thing of tribulation and persecution in the world, right? Where you are getting attacked for your faith, so you fall away from the faith. But what about if it's not for you, sir? What about if it's the gospel of the kingdom, so you have a kingdom living, you live in a kingdom-oriented mission, and then trial, persecution, tribulation comes up in your life, and because you were relying on those feelings of joy, of happiness, the feelings of excitement when you first got this inspiration to live this way, and this challenge comes in life, so those feelings diminish, then you're not going to stay true to the word. You're not going to stay on mission. You are not going to be unshakable. How about this in your marriage? How about this in my marriage? All right. So you have this inspiration to love your wife. You feel like you got hit upside the head in a moment of Holy Spirit touching, which is good and fine. That's great. But that's the thing that you have been relying on and depending on is the moment of inspiration. And when that moment fades, because now she treats you a certain way, she says a certain thing, and it triggers all your old feelings, if you're going by the feeling of joy that you had when you received that word, then when that feeling goes away, all of a sudden you're going to be back into your old pattern of being butthurt and whiny and needy and start moaning and complaining and perpetuating the cycle of toxicity. Instead, what you need to do, sir, is become strong. Become rooted. Send your roots deep so that when the storm comes, when the sun comes out and scorches you and threatens to burn you up, you manifest the truth of Jeremiah 17, which says that if any man trusts in the Lord, he is like a tree planted by the waters, and his leaf is always green, and he bears fruit in season and out of season, in seasons that are healthy and in seasons of drought. That is the man that you become. And you stay strong in your gospel, in the gospel of the kingdom. You stay strong in your kingdom DNA so that when your wife says a thing or acts away or seems cold for even a few days or whatever, or maybe longer, you have become so committed and so captivated in that commitment by the Son of Jesus, by the Son who is Jesus, then you don't get shaken. Then there are others who are sown among thorns, and those are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter in and choke it. And I'm so sorry, Jesus, because that has been me. And even before the deliverance and the circumstances come, I want to just acknowledge that I have lived according to that. And the desires of the world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things. And I'm not even extreme, like I just want to live, you know, extravagantly selfish and all of that stuff and think that my well-being is in riches. But I'm just looking at the riches enough to secure my family. I want to do more than survive. I would like to thrive. But even that cannot take over so that it animates my countenance, so that it has more power over how I am than the gospel, than Jesus, than the presence of the Spirit. And how about you, guys? How about you? Let's go back to marriage. Have you ever compromised, even in your marriage, on who you are, on your convictions, because of the promise of sex? Have you ever lived short-sighted because you're hoping to be able to be intimate with your wife on a certain night when you know that that it's been 7 days since you spent time with Jesus and you were planning to do it that night? Or you needed to stay up later to do a certain element of the mission that God has given you to do? Or how about this? You start getting all weird and goofy trying to, you know, be grabby of your wife's attention. And all of a sudden you're acting like a little boy trying to get her attention so that you can have sex that evening instead of just staying strong and confident and being okay within yourself, whether you get to or not. Is that familiar to anybody? But we want to be men who receive the word on good soil. We accept it. We bear fruit. We get rooted. We're not swayed. We stay on mission. This has been Matt Halleck, gentlemen, wrapping up another episode of the Man Warrior King podcast. Please do check the description and show notes for all of the important links, especially on grabbing the DNA of a man. I'm running a program from that right now. It is only open to gentlemen who purchase the book at a very, very low price, the book being purchased. But we are going to be running a Take Back Your Marriage Summit, as well as opening up in just a couple few weeks the Man Warrior King Inner Council. It's a group life change program where we will be going together deep into becoming kingdom men. This is not just churchy men. This is not just Christian men. This is kingdom men. There's a big difference, gentlemen. I'll talk to you soon. This is Matt Halleck signing off and thanking you again for being a part of the Man Warrior King community. If you want more, head over to manwarriorking.com. And please remember to take just a couple seconds to subscribe on iTunes and to leave a 5-star rating and a review so that more and more men can join us as we become awesome. You are a kingdom man. Go out, take more ground, push back darkness. Remember, you bring value into your home, your work, and your circle. You are not a taker, you are a giver. Abundance is your atmosphere.